You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Monday, July 24th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Engel, and Wall Street, Matt Modica. I am the returning Greg Sussman. Happy to be here on a Monday, gentlemen. How's it going, Corey?
What's the deal, Greg? Good to have you back. How's everything going?
You know what? It's honestly going pretty good. Like, you know the old adage, like when you come back from vacation, like you're refreshed, you're ready to go?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Like, good. I feel totally amped up. Like, I'm ready for football season. I was looking at stuff on the plane. I'm pumped, man.
How's Judy?
Judy's good.
All right. Is she...
No.
She's not pregnant?
No.
Okay.
She's not pregnant. There are no rings on her finger.
Okay, good.
There's
okay.
Nothing to report.
There's no baby boat shoes on the way? That was trending while you were gone.
Baby boat shoes was trending. I noticed that.
Baby boat shoes was the trend while you were away, Greg.
I noticed the baby boat shoes hashtag coming at me, which is frustrating. I wore quite a few boat shoes on the trip.
Nice.
Scotty, man, I walk in here and you are, instead of saying hi, I just get an F-bomb. Okay, Scott, what's up, man?
It's good to see you, Greg. Those had nothing to do with you, of course. Anybody here? It's good to see you back. I had a very busy and fun weekend. My brother's birthday. Took him out for lunch yesterday. Went shopping and had lunch with the wife. So got a lot of work done. So a nice productive weekend and good to see you back.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah. Walsh, what's up with you, man?
Well, welcome back, Sussman. I actually shaved last night in solidarity. I grew a playoff beard while Sussman was gone.
Nice. And now I'm back.
And that is gone. It's raining outside, by the way.
It is.
It's gross out.
Not the nicest day.
No, you know, it's not the nicest day. That's okay. On the program today, we begin Sleeper Week here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, which we're going to do, of course, all week long in solidarity with the rest of our shows.
Camaraderies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The rest of our comrades.
And with RotoExperts.com, which launched its Sleeper series this week.
Corey forgot to respond
to
that email.
I also did. I had a lot of stuff I was doing.
I was on a plane.
Weekend.
I was away, you know. But we have a Roto Experts mock going on, right?
Actually, it'll start tomorrow. The standard is finished.
They're starting. We'll so what are these emails?
I'm yeah, this is wrong.
No, it's going to start tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern. It'll be the exclusive Edge Fantasy football package. Enter the king at a checkout for special.
And I did make sure that Sussman was in this one.
I appreciate it.
I asked Michael Wardle, is Greg Sussman in this one?
So these emails...
We both made sure.
So these emails that I'm getting...
Disregard.
Yeah.
Can I stop getting them?
It starts Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
All right. I trust you. So, anyway, on the show today, we're going to get some top stories on the other side of the break. Clayton Kershaw, Steven Strasburg both get hurt yesterday. So those are the big stories. We'll get to those, some of the football headlines as well. But this hour, I want to talk about the sleepers from last year. The guys that everyone thought was a quarterback sleeper. Because before we look into 2017, we have to look back to 2016. That's the program. It's the quarterback sleeper day here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm back, so stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, CP, the Yo. King, Wall Street, we're all hanging out here on a Monday sleeper week here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we're going to look at quarterbacks today, quarterbacks that we looked at last year's sleepers. I want to see how well we did. I also want to get to the quarterback sleepers we believe in here in 2017. Before we do, I do want to get to the headlines from the weekend, because it's been a couple days since the four of us have been on the air together, the three of you guys, and I'm back. It's been a while since the four of us have been on the air together. So I want to get some headlines from the weekend. And I actually have to start with some baseball today, because Clayton Kershaw, the best pitcher in baseball, he hurt his back. And normally, if I see a pitcher go off like a lower back injury, you know what? I feel okay with that. Yeah. It's like, you know, you put a hot pad on it, you'd be fine. Clayton Kershaw's the one guy I don't want to see a back injury for.
Well, see, here's the thing. This is what I'm kind of a little bit perturbed about when I saw this news this morning. Back in March, when people were drafting fantasy baseball teams, I specifically was asking, this epidural is going to wear off at some point, and he's going to need another one in his lower back. Does anybody have any issues drafting Clayton Kershaw knowing that his back is a good chance is going to need another shot? Everybody said, no, I'm not worried about Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, that was exactly what it was, yes.
Well, I guess we're going to have to find out from Dr. A, because the Dodgers are saying that it's a muscular injury and not related to the discs. I don't know what to say about that, because I'm not a doctor.
They did say that he is expected to be placed on the disabled list, which is not good.
Yeah, and the thing is, everybody's killing Steven Strasburg because he left yesterday as well. And, you know, every year it's just a matter of time when he's going to get injured. He may have dodged one, I don't know. But the thing with Kershaw now is, you know, this is the second year in a row with the back. So it's really not a coincidence. It's becoming more of a trend. So that's, you know, just as the baseball fan in general, it's kind of really depressing.
I think so too. It's extremely, extremely frustrating for both pitchers to go down yesterday, certainly as we head toward this playoff March. Also yesterday, baseball-wise, before we continue on to football, the Red Sox announced they're going to call Rafael Devers, their top prospect, and basically third baseman, a black hole for them for like a couple of years now. I know Travis Shaw was there. Of course, he's now in Milwaukee. Paulo Sandoval couldn't get the job done. Brock Holt either. And they've had a myriad of guys play at third base. And now they're going to give their top prospect a shot, Scott.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, he was ripping it up at Double A. They promoted him to Triple A for a week. He had 400 with two homers in nine games. And your fantasy players saying, okay, when is the next guy going to come up? And boom, here he is. It just makes so much sense for the Red Sox right now, because they have to fill that hole.
Yeah, they obviously do. How important, if Devers is available, Matt, in your fantasy baseball league, is he to pick up?
I think he's very important. I mean, I don't know about that glove, but we don't really care about that.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say the argument would be, well, if he can't field, he's not going to stay in the lineup. Look, they called him up, so he is going to get at bats. He's going to play. He's one of the best young hitters in the minor leagues. He's still very young, but, I mean, he's an exciting player that's coming up that could, you know, possibly over these final 2 months really help your team. So I'd be very, very aggressive.
Yeah. I also will be aggressive if he's out there. Like I said, top prospect. He's got an everyday opportunity to play with the Red Sox. And for prospects, like, we obviously have no idea what they're going to be. Their value most likely will never be higher than it currently is. But that's the deal with Rafael Devers. You have to take a shot. Some of the
hold up, but right quick. Did you see the home run that Aaron Judge hit the other night in Safeco?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
I saw that.
It was crazy.
And everyone has done the credit, so I'm going to do it as well. Ryan Rucco's call was just unbelievable.
I didn't hear Rucco's call.
Rucco's in Seattle because Michael Caine doesn't fly to Seattle. And
good for Seattle.
And Rucco was basically like, good God, where is that going to land? Immediately off the bat. And it was just an unreal call.
Well, I did see a headline. It was like, Judge broke StatCast, Judge crushes StatCast, whatever, the day after. Bryce Harper does the same thing pretty much because he hit another shot in Arizona. So it's been, look, it is so much fun to watch these home runs. But and I don't mind it from guys like Judge and Harper.
Yeah,
it's just the problem I have with the home run ball this year is when everybody else that should be.
Brett Gardner already has a career high in home runs.
Like he's tied it,
Yeah. So I'm with you. It's just too much already. It's really too much. I agree with you. Okay, so let's get the NFL news and notes before we get to the sleepers.
And let's do it.
The NFL
She's new.
Hit it. I saw some new. I was like, Corey's going to be all over that pretty soon.
Sorry.
The NFL, we begin with, I think, a question we're probably going to begin every day this week with until the news is out. And that's with Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott, the question becomes, what the hell do you do with him? Now, I'm sure you guys talked about this last week, and we have to get into it now because there's still no word on the suspension. Jerry Jones said there's nothing to do with the domestic violence issue that he has seen, maybe. The NFL is close to wrapping up their investigation, whatever that means. You're drafting today, Corey. Where the hell do you draft Ezekiel Elliott?
I'm back and forth on this. I don't let him. Last week, I was saying I don't let him get past six. Today, I feel like I don't let him get past four. I think he might get a game for the breast exposure incident. I think that's really it. He may even be able to appeal that and get that taken off the books altogether.
Yeah, if it's one game, nothing changes for me.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's just a lot of smoke here, Scotty.
Yeah, it's probably, you never know with the NFL, though. You really just don't. It's we've been through this exercise before, where you try to predict the amount of games, and you know it's just off. And you know Jerry Jones, like you said, saying that there, you know, that there's nothing to it, but you know the NFL is probably going to ignore that, continue their investigation. We don't know what we're going to find here, but you know Ezekiel Elliott has been kind of skirting around with discipline here, and it's probably going to, you know, bite him, you know, very soon. We don't know whether it's going to be 1 to 4 games or whatever, but the ADPs have not moved really. On Fantasy Pros, he's still number 3 overall in standard and 4 in PPR.
Scotty, before we get to you, Maddie. Scott, I know you are, I think that the fair term is, a conservative drafter, especially in the first couple of rounds. You want to be as safe as possible. There's a lot of uncertainty when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott. So I'd like to know where you would take him right now, today.
I would probably still take him in like the top 8 or 9 because, you know, as I was talking about on this show last week, it's very rare that you get a crack at a top 3 superstar running back like that. If he only misses 1 to 2 games, I think you can compensate. And to me, there are only 9 possible RB1s on the board, maybe 8 this year. And if I get a chance to get one of them, I'm going to take it, especially if it's 1 of the top 3.
So you're saying Ezekiel Elliott is commonly number 3. You would still take him in the top 9 overall. So you're going to drop him close to 5 spots.
Maybe I'll take some of those prime wide receivers ahead of him.
Okay.
But, you know, once it gets down to the point where, you know, I'm looking at the 3rd running back off the board. And
yep.
He's still my number 3. I mean, I'll move a few receivers, like 3 receivers ahead of him, and he could go to me as early as 6 or 7.
Okay, so there you go. You're. It sounds like what you would do is move Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans ahead of him.
Yeah.
And then you can start considering Ezekiel Elliott again.
Yeah.
Okay, Matt, what about you?
Well, I actually had this. I was faced with this Saturday night in the online championship with my partner, Andy Saxton. But I'm like Corey. I've gone back and forth. Last week I was saying if it's a game or 2, I'm really not going to move him.
Yep.
But you keep hearing all this stuff. The NFL has not stopped this investigation. It's going on.
But they don't really have nothing on him, no?
Yeah. I hear you. But the thing is, they botched that domestic violence thing. It was the Giants punter last year.
Oh, yeah. God. Josh Brown.
And my fear is the NFL is going to look to try and make amends and make somebody the poster boy.
Right.
And Elliott is a high-profile Cowboys. So maybe he's the guy that's the sacrificial lamb here. So I don't know. So we had the 5th pick, and we went back and forth. Andy was like, you know, I'm a little nervous. I said, I'm not really sure neither. We went with Julio Jones at 5. Elliott went at 6. Beckham went 4. We took Jones 5. Elliott, for the first time, went 6th.
So there you go. So I think it sounds like a lot of people, Corey, are feeling really what Scott is, right? I know you like Julio Jones over Mike Evans, and that's kind of what you did, but it sounds like people are where
no,
Scott is.
I think it's more, no, you're not really, like that 6 is the lowest I've seen. Mm-hmm. Matt 6 is the lowest I've seen in the past 2 weeks.
But I think things are just trending the wrong direction, which is what makes sense that this would be the lowest you'd seen.
Yeah, but I mean, well, no, that's the highest I've seen.
Well, that's what I mean. 6, like, you were saying
I'm still seeing him go 3-4.
Oh, I understand that.
Yeah.
But he went 6 yesterday because I think it's trending that way. It's trending toward that way.
I think it had been trending more towards that way last week. I think this weekend is a little bit more confidence in Zeke.
I don't know.
Because training camp is, I think they're in Oxnard now.
Right.
So you got that situation. The NFL doesn't have anything.
As now.
The dude from last year, the dude from the nightclub disappeared. You got his hush money. He disappeared.
Yep.
Then the thing with the Columbus Police Department has been over. The thing with the Dallas Police Department is over now. What are we doing?
What about the girl that was on TMZ coming out? I understand.
This girl has so many holes in her story. Yeah, you feel what I'm saying?
I get it, but it's just a bad look. Optics.
It is a bad look.
It's definitely a bad look. When we come back, we're going to talk about a running back that's not nearly as good as Ezekiel Elliott. But is he back in the conversation? Corey Parson, can we convince him on Duke Johnson 2017? We'll find out when we return on the Road to Experts in the Morning.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
We're back here on The Roto Experts in the Morning. Corey just brought up a good point during the break as we come back. Basically, listen, kind of where I am, there's so much smoke, there's fire with Ezekiel Elliott. And the Cowboys continue to just bring in running back after running back.
Ronnie Hillman has been in there. Yeah, interesting. What they going to do with him? And then what's homeboy? Smoke, not Storm Johnson, Denard Robinson.
Denard Robinson, they came in. He came in too over the weekend. We'll see. I asked Matt if DMC's ADP is rising, and he said only with people with fires. So
I saw in pros NFFPC pros versus Joe's last night. He went a little earlier than I expected.
Okay,
but there was a mouse in the house in that draft anyway, so it was like you don't really know if that guy. I think the team that drafted him earlier than he should have been was the mouse.
I like that mouse.
I like
that
too.
Mouse in the house.
I got it.
Was that a Papa Parson, by the way?
No, that's all fantasy executive stuff. Yeah,
probably.
Now it comes from Rucker Park. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
When you got an inexperienced dude out there, you know what I'm saying? You'd be like, oh, I got a mouse in the house, and then you take advantage of the mouse in the house.
I understand. All right.
It's like when Scott's in the draft.
Sure.
So, says the guy with the losing record.
It's a mouse in the house.
All right. So
welcome back, Greg.
Hey, good to be back. Was that contained while I was gone?
Yes, it was. No, it wasn't.
Not
it was,
completely
no.
enough.
No, we got it done.
So Mary Kay Cabot, who's one of the better beat writers, I think, on the beat.
Yes, she is.
The Plain Dealer. She among many other beat reporters over the weekend, tried to give like your sleeper, which is good. We're talking about sleeper week here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And her sleeper to watch for her team. And her name was, quote, all-purpose back, unquote, Duke Johnson.
Yeah.
Now, with all the losses that this team has had, Terrell Pryor certainly being the big name here that is gone, someone's got to pick up targets out of the backfield and in the slot, as this team also lost Andrew Hawkins as well. She suggests Duke Johnson will be that player. Corey, we sat here 7 months ago, and you said, I will never draft Duke Johnson ever again. I won't be fooled by looking at his numbers. I won't be fooled by looking how many catches he has, because I know Duke Johnson, and Duke Johnson sucks. That was your quote.
Yeah.
Are you feeling the love on Duke Johnson?
Duke Johnson sucks? Okay, Duke Johnson doesn't suck, right? Duke Johnson is an all-purpose back. He can catch the football out of the backfield. Mary Kay knows what she's talking about. With that being said, I will not have him on any redraft team. I have warmed up to taking him in the best ball format.
Okay.
But in the 12-team redraft, I will not have any shares of Duke Johnson.
Matt, I sat down here just a few minutes ago, and you looked at the rundown, and you're like, oh, man, Duke Johnson, I'm feeling the love.
Well, it's pretty much something that's trended on, like, Twitter all of a sudden. I keep hearing it. Look, where he's going, where I've seen him go in that, like, 10th round range, double digits, I'm fine with that. But let's not be fooled here. Isaiah Crowell is the top dog in this backfield. Hugh Jackson wants to run the ball. It's a much improved offensive line. And also, Isaiah Crowell caught 40 balls last year, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he can catch the ball as well. Duke Johnson is a guy, if I'm looking for a pass-catching back, say that 10th round or maybe late 9th, I'm interested. But I don't want to get too carried away. Just remember what happened last year, too. You know, everybody was that six-rounder, he was
yep.
something like that.
Yep.
So, you know, you have to remember last year. I know it gets exciting. You look at numbers and how things played out, but you also got to remember what happened.
Scotty, is there a chance that all this Duke Johnson love that you're seeing on Twitter and people are reading and getting excited about, is there a chance that it'll actually push Isaiah Crowell's ADP in the other direction?
I don't think so, if people are smart, because you know that Isaiah Crowell is going to be the guy to get the carries there, and he showed he could also catch passes last year. There's a chance that Mary Kay Cabot, like any other beat writer, needs to do a puff piece at this point of the year to throw that out to be devil's advocate. But at the same time, Duke Johnson did catch a healthy amount of passes last year. Could he become a Theo Riddick type for the Browns if they start to divert the offense a little bit, especially if the young quarterback gets to start and he wants to throw to his safety valve? Maybe he's the closest thing to have that safety valve. So ultimately, I feel a little more confident now in taking Duke Johnson now in the later rounds as a big depth pick. It's like maybe a running back 5-6, but it's not going to affect my outlook for Isaiah Crowell.
Oh, that's very funny. You're calling out the beat reporters, but nobody trusts the beat reporters like you do. You always talk about, the beat reporter says this.
I think you can tell when you read for years, though, what's the difference between a puff piece and something that might be authentic.
I
don't have Mary Kay doing that.
Exactly. I trust Mary Kay. She is very, very good.
She is very good, but every reporter at this time of the year needs something to write because there's not a lot going on.
All right,
on.
So I'm not going to trust anything you...
What I'm saying is there's a small possibility that it's something that I considered in my mind, but ultimately, you know, Duke Johnson is a guy that caught, 50 balls the last year anyway?
So 53, 55, something like that.
It's irrelevant anyway if you think that.
Well, how is that irrelevant?
No, I'm saying... That first thought that I had is not relevant because Duke Johnson's probably going to cap passes anyway regardless.
Who would you rather have, Scotty, Duke Johnson or Kenneth Dixon?
Kenneth Dixon.
Even though Kenneth Dixon's missing 4 games.
Yeah, but when he comes back, he's probably going to be the feature back.
Yeah, I mean, this Duke Johnson love is real with inside the fantasy community. And, you know, I'm just hearing too much on Twitter and people saying, like, forget about Isaiah Crowell. Duke Johnson's asleep. I saw that yesterday. I don't agree with that. Look, Duke Johnson has a role. I would draft him where I said. And I hope it does push Isaiah Crowell down a little.
Because Isaiah Crowell is in the 3rd round now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would be all for that. And I'm still going to draft Isaiah Crowell.
Okay.
So
that, to me, that's the bigger question. It's not Duke Johnson like falling in love again. Because you'll get him a little bit later, than he did last year. But maybe he will, maybe he won't. The question is, if this love, which you say is real, Matt, will bring Isaiah Crowell down a little bit.
I would love it if that happens.
Yeah.
If that happens, I'm all in for that. I want Isaiah Crowell in round number 4. I'm seeing him going in 3 now, so the train is rolling on Crow. I'm not taking him in 2nd. As much as I love him, I'm not taking him in 2nd. If I got to pull the trigger on 3rd come September, I'm willing to do that because I've been talking the kid up, but I wouldn't mind seeing his ADP come down, but I don't think Duke Johnson's going to bring his ADP down.
I think a sensible fantasy football player, if they read the story, it says they're going to put him in the slot. That means it's not going to affect Isaiah Crowell.
Well, listen, every fantasy player is different. They may see this piece and get very excited.
Yeah.
So I want to
read what it says.
Some people might say instead of paying up for Crowell,
I can get Johnson.
Exactly.
I can get different price.
Johnson
yeah, exactly.
6 rounds later.
They play
exactly.
different roles, though. That's what you got to know.
Yeah, for sure.
I understand that, but that's the point that we're making.
Scotty, you all...
I realize that. I don't need the clarification.
I already said
to people, read what it says. You know?
Okay. You're the judge and jury over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Scott,
teacher over here.
You talk about puff pieces by beat reporters.
Yeah.
At this time of the year, they should be taken with a bit of a grain of salt. Does that hold true for what we heard over the weekend about John Brown, who is now bulked up? He is trying to basically get over this illness. His speed is back. He's excited. Now we're reading about Carson Palmer. His arm hasn't been this lively Was
lively?
Oh, yeah, we said the same word. Okay.
Yeah.
Hasn't been this lively in years. So everybody's excited about John Brown, about Carson Palmer. Are you buying into that balloon?
Well, I know that Matt is big on Carson Palmer without the puff piece.
We're going to get Carson Palmer a little bit, by the way.
He's the Carson Palmer guy. To me, I don't even have to read it because just I want to hear John Brown is healthy. If John Brown is healthy, he is what he is. He's a boomer bust guy that I like better in best ball.
But essentially, you don't want to read. You don't want to read that. Like, that's information, right? So why do you believe
my
that?
My arm feels more lively, better than ever. It's like I'm feeling great. That's all the markings of a puff piece.
And
to
I agree with that totally. But so why I ask the question because it does feel like a puff piece, right? Best shape of my life. I'm bulking up. I feel healthy. Are you buying back in today, right now, on John Brown?
John Brown is what he was to me now. Now that he's healthy, he's more robust.
That means you're believing the puff piece. You're believing that John Brown's healthy.
No, I'm not believing the puff piece. What I'm saying is that I know that John Brown's in better health, period.
How?
I heard it before I read this. So
from
I
who?
What, 2 weeks, two, 3 weeks ago, they would, you know, the reports were saying, you know, that
why do you
he was looking
those?
Fine.
Why do you believe those?
There's no reports out that he's had any setbacks.
It's to do with health. And you can kind of confirm health.
We have
Carson Palmer's arm being livelier. You can't really confirm that.
Yeah, exactly.
You feel what I'm saying?
That's the difference.
Okay. Fair enough.
But Duke Johnson changing positions is not really puffy either, though.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough. Okay, so John Brown is back to where he was, in your opinion, Scott, because he's healthy. Last year.
Yeah, which is a wide receiver four.
No. Last year, John Brown was way higher than a wide receiver.
People was
four.
Buying into that John Brown crap last year. I'm glad I didn't do that.
John Brown, remember.
I'm saying to me, he's a wide receiver four going into this year.
Well, but if he's healthy, you're telling me he's back where he was. He's much higher than a wide receiver four.
I never trusted him as a wide receiver three. I wasn't one of those guys.
John Brown was wide receiver two last year. And he was back to back.
I wasn't buying into that. Neither was Corey.
Okay.
I didn't expect the consistency. I had to see it first.
We wasn't together last year during draft season, Scott.
That's okay. Both had the same opinion.
They took us from each other.
It's okay, we're back together.
Separated.
Now.
Yeah.
Separated.
You can be friends. Matt, where are you on John Brown with what you're hearing?
You know, I think depending on the price, I'll pay it. I think, you know, he's like that DeSean Jackson type guy. I'm looking for like 1,000 yards if healthy. You know, maybe half a dozen touchdowns to that kind of thing. So, John Jackson, say he's going in the sixth round.
Yeah.
If John Brown's going in the eighth round, where I got him, I think it was Wednesday night or something like that. Yeah, because, I mean, the wide receiver, as much as we say it's deep, that elite tier goes down quick and that middle gets eaten up. So you're going to have to take a chance on a guy like John Brown.
Scott, to be fair, you did have him as a wide receiver three last year. You did back then, which is fine. I'm just saying, I just want to clarify, that's what you believed last year. If you think he's a wide receiver four now, I'm on board with you.
Well, performance-wise, he's never been more than inconsistent, boomer bust guy. So he's a wide receiver four for this year.
Fair enough. When we come back, I want to move to talk about Carson Palmer. I want to talk about Sleeper Week here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We kick it off next here on the Roto Experts.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Sleeper Week here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and on RotoExperts.com. RotoExperts.com is where you can purchase the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package right now. It's our big deal going on. RotoExperts.com/big deal. Use the promo code SUSMANIA when you check out. We will give you 20% off. That's better than the $5 off that you get when you use Free Radio. The Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package is available now. Use the promo code SUSMANIA.
Yeah.
Check out Sleeper with the Staff. It is all from the Roto Expert staff. All their sleeper running backs, quarterbacks are posted right down. I'm seeing that Jake Seeley and Mike Florio both have Jamal Williams.
Interestingly enough, nice. We'll get to running backs on tomorrow's program, but I have compiled, Scotty.
Yes.
A list of some of the quarterback sleepers from last year. Some of the quarterback sleepers that
Going into 2016,
the Roto Experts themselves in Sleeping with the Staff 2016 mentioned. And I'm not gonna, I don't need to give out names and who I've compiled
Sleeping
the list.
With the Staff.
I've compiled
call human
That's
resources.
Corey and Ross and Riley.
Human resources.
I've compiled a list together of some of the quarterbacks we were talking about last year.
All right, let's hear it.
And I wanna start with Carson Palmer. Because Carson Palmer was a guy that wasn't really a sleeper last year, but he was a guy people expect the consistency from. We're going to get to Carson Palmer in a bit because I think he's a sleeper this year, but Carson Palmer is on this list. Anyway, the sleepers from last year, and we can talk about them and whatever, if we got it right. Here we go. Eli Manning was a big sleeper last year.
That was wrong.
That was a disaster.
Yes,
okay.
Good.
Phillip Rivers. Jake Seeley liked Phillip Rivers a lot last year. Was Phillip Rivers that workout? No.
I don't know if he was a sleeper, but sometimes, you know, it's tough to find those quarterback sleepers. But, you know, if you go by, I guess you go by the adage, he's not going to perform his draft expectation. There are a lot of people that weren't, like, hot on, you know, kind of lukewarm on Rivers, and, you know, maybe Jake was expecting even better than that.
That wasn't the one he was planting his flag with. He liked Phillip Rivers. I want to be clear with that. I don't want to misquote Jake. What?
I mean, this is cool. Phil Rivers was cool.
Fine.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor.
That was a good call right there. Who was that?
I don't have that down.
Okay, that was a good call right there with Tyrod Taylor. T-Double did his thing last year. He gets it done. I'm a big fan of him. I don't mind drafting him later on in drafts.
But as your number one, would you feel confident?
Yep.
See, I like the guy a lot.
Obviously.
He's my number two. I love having him as my best.
Same. I love that. If I'm going to end up
in a situation where I don't end up with one of those top-end quarterbacks and I want to stream two guys, I love having Taylor.
Nah, here's the thing. This is what I would say with Taylor. If it's a 4 point per touchdown pass, I'll have Taylor as my QB1.
I have no problem
with that.
Yeah.
And 6 point for touchdown pass, there is a criminal misjudge. There's something criminal going on in draft boards right now. That it's a quarterback slipping way, way too far.
And listeners have to remember, you know, Matt will automatically by default, you know, say, you know, that, you know, his angle on it because he's a guy who plays in a lot of 6 point touchdown pass leagues, but, you know, there are a lot of people defaults to four. I know Matt and Chris Vaccaro feel it should be six across the board, and that makes for a great debate one day, but you know, I think both guys are right, but it really depends on your scoring system.
Yeah, so I default to four in most of my leagues. I play 4 point per quarterback touchdown, and I'm in love with Tyrod Taylor as a backup quarterback. I can see what you're saying, Corey, in drafting Tyrod early, drafting Tyrod as my one and feeling comfortable with it. I love him as a two. I could deal with him as a one.
In the 4 point league, I do get it because his rushing yards will help you out there, give you like that, you know, if he gets 40 yards. I think last year he had at least 25 yards rushing in every game but two. So that's almost an extra touchdown in a 4 point league.
Yeah, in any format, ultimately, it does help because what does he rush for six scores too? So those are extra touchdowns, even though the six is the same as passing. You know, you take whatever touchdowns passing and you throw that extra total on there, it's still great.
I mean, they brought the dude Dennison in. You got to think that they're saying, oh, Dennison is somebody that worked with Taylor before. Even though they tried to run Taylor in the offseason, but, you know, he's in a situation that's comfortable. He gets a healthy Sammy Watkins. You know, reports came out yesterday that Sammy Watkins is close to 100% healthy. So, hey, listen. Yeah.
And also, too, with Tyrod Taylor, we have to understand is last year he threw the ball like 438 attempts or something like that.
He should hit 500 this year.
Yeah, and previous to that, he might have had 400 attempts during his NFL career.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, last year was a nice big step for him. So hopefully now he's got some more under his feet. As Corey said, he's got Dennison. So I'm hoping it's at least 500 pass attempts this year.
Yeah, it's really, to me, a big key is Sammy Watkins obviously staying healthy, because, you know, there's, to me, there's much less upside with his passing numbers without that guy in there.
So remember, Tyrod Taylor adjusted his contract this year to come back to Buffalo. He's got $7.5 million base salary this year, and then he's got a roster bonus next year of another $6 million, $10 million base salary next year.
So they're going to try to cut. They're trying to get rid of him in the offseason.
Well, they could. They have the ability to do so, I think.
Yeah, they kind of extended it. Like last year was like an was a year that he was auditioning to try and get that long term.
So here's what it is. He has the contract this year, obviously. Next year, he's got a $14.5 million contract. If they cut him, they only save like $6 million.
If they cut him,
that only they save $6 million if they cut him, and he gets paid, you know, a significant amount of money, so he doesn't really care.
By the way, in the exclusive Edge package and sleeping with the staff quarterbacks, four riders have Tyrod Taylor as their quarterback sleepers.
This year.
Four.
And again, we were gonna get to that a little bit. But yeah,
but I don't think Tyrod Taylor's a sleeper.
I do. I do.
I don't think he's a sleeper.
I think it's a fair one.
I think a sleeper is deeper down the board than Tyrod Taylor.
Well, so Tyrod Taylor right now on the board is in Fantasy Pros. I'm gonna get it up right now. According to Fantasy Pros, Tyrod Taylor is quarterback, hold on, it's loading. Tyrod Taylor is quarterback 16. I think that's a quite qualified.
Yeah, because these guys who are calling him a sleeper expect him to be like a QB1.
A quarterback. Yeah. Absolutely.
And just,
I agree.
Just to qualify it for the NFFC, he's quarterback number 18 with a 168.
So that's very
similar. And let's put things in a little bit more perspective. There's nothing wrong with Corey said that he's not a sleeper, because Corey's going reflex, because Corey's a fantasy expert. To him, he's not a sleeper. He knows about him. But when you talk to the average fan and somebody's going to walk up to you, especially like an average fantasy football player, like some of these Major League Baseball players are, the first thing they'll say to me is, who's your sleeper? You know, they'll say, who's your sleeper? And if you say to that kind of person, Tyrod Taylor, they're going to go, wow. You know, like, but to you and me, we're not going to go, wow. But to the average player, Tyrod Taylor is going to be a sleeper.
I think okay. I think ultimately Taylor's a sleeper because of what we're saying, right? Like, when it comes to 6-point touchdowns, people don't want Tyrod Taylor because he's not going to throw for a million touchdowns. But because of what he can do, he provides the points ultimately.
Yeah, and for me, after my top 8, from like 9 to 16 or 17, it's kind of a preference thing. I mean, it's really, who do you like more? I mean, you can settle with a Matthew Stafford, a Phillip Rivers, who are going to throw 4,400 yards every year.
Yeah.
You know, 20, 30 touchdowns. Do you believe in Dak, Mariota? So, and are you off of Cam Newton? So, it's that 9 to like 17 range to me is kind of, you're going off of, I don't think there's much separation there.
Let me continue with some of the sleepers from last year. So Tyrod Taylor, then you get to the two that you just met, or one of the ones you just mentioned, which I think everyone kind of expected last year, Corey. Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, both top two overall picks from a year prior. Both of those guys were sleepers last year. Jameis Winston was by far the most popular choice in sleeping with the staff 2016. Mariota, some people liked as well. Certainly the schedule was a fit. Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, I think both came through last year.
Yeah, both of them guys are going off the board as top 10 quarterbacks now, and rightfully so. You all know the love everybody has for Jameis Winston around the industry. Marcus Mariota's right there with him. So those were two calls that hit last year on Mariota and Winston. We've seen Winston, you know, the gunslinger, that mentality with Mike Evans, how they put that thing together last year. Second season of throwing over 4,000 yards. The efficiency of Marcus Mariota running the football, throwing the football, even with that being a heavy run situation, he got the job done. So those two gentlemen are locked in top 10 quarterbacks for 2017.
Corey, would you rather have Tyrod Taylor or Marcus Mariota?
I'd rather have Marcus Mariota.
Okay. Scott?
I pay the Marcus Mariota price.
You will.
But it's like, I'm not going to pay them. I don't have Mariota because Winston's on the board.
Gotcha. Fair enough. Sky, what would you rather do?
Mariota.
Strongly. Okay. Yeah. So both of those guys were inside, were very, very popular sleeper choices. They were both correct. Here are the last three. And again, this comes from Sleeping with the Staff and other publications that published Sleepers 2017, which is everybody. Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, no.
Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, no.
Who predicted that? Don Burns? actually, Don Burns does.
I don't like Tannehill, but he did make improvements in his YPA, but that's I'm not a Tannehill guy.
All right, sleeping with the staff. You want to know who chose Ryan Tannehill? Do you want me to call them out, Scott?
Yeah, right? Sure, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Ryan Tannehill was chosen by Joe Galina.
Oh, it's Fantasy Jesus.
Fantasy Jesus.
Who chooses Carson Wentz this year?
Again, you're spoiling the rest of the show. That's fine.
Nothing new.
And Ian Riley also chose Ryan Tannehill.
What's up with IR? I ain't seen him in him in a minute.
He's on the IR.
Okay, very good.
God, that was too easy. Yeah. All right. Scott's call last year for the record was Jameis Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis Winston.
Nice.
George
safe.
Kurtz was the only
nice,
one
nice,
last.
Safe, easy.
George Kurtz was the only one last year to select Matt Ryan. George Kurtz
nice
said
job,
Matt Ryan.
That was a rookie. It wasn't safe.
Nice job right there.
Adam Ronis chose Tyrod Taylor.
Nice job by Adam Ronis.
So there you go. All right, the other ones on the list from last year sleeping with the staff was,
I got mine.
Was Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford was a sleeper last year. And he was chosen by Bobby McMahon and also Michael Waterloo, while the last player chosen by my guy, Frank Stanfield, and somebody named Leslie O'Neill, Kirk Cousins.
Nice
Kirk Cousins
job.
Sleeping with the staff. When we come back, we pause from the football for a bit, and we go at the park with the King, Scott Engel. He talks with ace pitcher Sean Manea. Stick around. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
On the Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And it's that time once again to go at the ballpark with Scotty Love, Roto Experts at the park. Scotty, you got the opportunity to talk to Sean Manea, A's starting pitcher.
Yes, and listen to the full interview coming up today on Audio Boom, iTunes, Google Play, where you can also recently listen to my Colorado Rockies interviews. But, Sean Manea, things are settling down for him this year, getting more ground balls, using his slider more. And I asked him here about keeping the ball in the park. It's like the home runs allowed are, down for you as well this year. But, of course, playing in your home ballpark, that always helps.
Yeah, Oakland's, especially at night, it plays huge. And, there have been times where I thought, some balls should have been out. But, it's just just one of those things, and I'm just thankful that a lot of those weren't home runs, and I've been able to keep the ball in the ballpark.
So you've played a little bit of fantasy sports, you kind of know. So 0.76 home runs per nine this year as compared to last year 1.24. The Ks per nine are up for 8.75. from 7.71 last year. 3.82 ERA, 3.55 FIP, 4.19 xFIP. Had a bumpy start against the Mets over the weekend, but Manea has turned out to be very serviceable. A pitcher that I think is only going to continue to get better with time. And a terrific, terrific interview. Make sure you listen to it on demand. He talks about what the nickname Sean Doolittle gave him before he left for Washington.
There you go. Sean Doolittle, who has become the closer in Washington.
Yeah, got his second save yesterday.
For now. Yeah.
And he's allowed, a run in each of his outings. And Manson's hasn't allowed a run in three.
But hey, it's working. So.
Yeah, I know. Look, they
Wilson,
still need another
Washington National. Huh?
Look, if I were them, I'd try and get Pat Neshek, but they still need a... a proven closer.
They do. They need a big time closer.
Well, what if they got a guy like Justin Wilson who's done a nice job for Detroit?
But coming into
Justin
the playoffs, the you want to go into the playoffs with
Justin Wilson is the same as Sean Doolittle.
Madison Doolittle. I don't. If I'm them.
No, they need to go out and they need to trade for David Robertson. Kelvin Herrera still makes sense to me. AJ Ramos could make sense. Sure.
AJ Ramos could probably load the bases in the playoff and get out of it with a double play.
Maybe. Maybe not. You know, we'll see. We'll see.
I still think that'll be their downfall this year.
Again.
Yeah. They're gonna watch it. You know, just go slip sliding away.
Unbelievable.
And it's all their fault.
Correct. It's all their fault. They could have paid out for Kenley Jansen. They could have paid out for Mark Melanson. It hasn't worked out. They could have paid out.
Ramos may be the best guy out there.
Moving on Melanson was correct, but you know. And the funny thing is, the guy they traded for Melanson this year, Felipe Rivero, is like
lights out.
Yeah, like
Felipe Rivero could have been the guy. How about that? By the way, Sam Dyson's a nice job.
That he has.
For the Giants. I can't believe that.
On our online team, me and Vlad, that's currently number one.
Still number one. That's good. Yeah.
DAs have gotten rid of a lot of guys, but I think, you know, they're committed to young guys like Manaea. So, you know, I think he's very comfortable there in Oakland, excited to be, you know, regular part of rotation. Nice kid. Really enjoyed talking to him.
I'm a big fan of Sean Manaea this year and going forward.
Yeah, I think I like going forward,
too. He's made some really nice improvements this
year. I'm a bigger fan after interviewing him. One of the best interviews I've done this year, I think.
All right, there you go. Make sure you listen to it on demand. Wherever you're listening to the Roto Experts in the morning, you can listen to Scotty's interview with Sean Manaea and all of his At the Ballpark interviews, the Roto Experts at the Park, on demand, wherever you listen to the Roto Experts in the morning. When we return, we get back into some of the top headlines from the weekend, and we talk about the quarterback sleepers in 2017. We sleep with the staff. All that and more coming your way next here on the Roto Experts in the morning.
Does your fantasy team suck? Maybe you need us. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The only free 24/7 Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the morning starts now.
It is Monday, July 24th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the morning alongside the King, Scott Engel, the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Happy to be back with you on a Monday morning. Back inside Studio 34. Monday, 8 a.m. East, 5 a.m. Pacific. It is the Roto Experts.
That's well a good done, one, Greg.
Happy to be here with you on the Roto Experts in the morning, guys. And top stories, of course, from the weekend. Actually, it's on the baseball side of things. With Clayton Kershaw, Steven Strasburg, both getting hurt yesterday. Kershaw, it's already been announced, he's going to head to the DL, although they don't think it's as significant as the injury was last year, which kept him out for a couple months. But given the Dodgers' record, given where they are in the standings, you know they're going to be conservative, Scotty.
Yeah, you know, they can afford to be right now. And I think just about every Dodger pitcher, it seems, has gone on the DL at some point. I think they get Ryu back now for a pair of turns for this week. But look, it hurts anytime you lose Kershaw. They say it's not the same as the disc problem from last year, that it's more muscle related. I guess we'll have to ask Dr. A about this later this week, but there really is no specific timetable for his return at this point where we're doing the show.
Here's the big question. Do the Dodgers make a serious push now to get Yu Darvish?
That is the question, of course. Although, you know, the Dodgers, I don't know if they're going to be in a position to go out. Not that they don't have the money to do so, but I don't know if they want to be in a position to go out and get another rental at this point. You have the prospects to do
I
so.
I understand that, but they're a team that has the money if sure. they do want to re-sign him, and they'll sure. get that open. They'll have that first window to do so.
That's a good point.
And, I mean, just picture Darvish at Dodger Stadium and going from the American League to the National League. That would be pretty damn exciting.
Yeah, that would be cool. Hey, Matt, Steven Strasburg also gets hurt yesterday, although it's not exactly clear what the injury was with him.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. They're saying he avoided a major injury. That's what I'm kind of getting the feel of. I hope so. I mean, I do want to see Strasburg pitch in the playoffs and all that, see if he can step up. So I'm as a baseball fan alone, I'm just rooting that this was maybe something he just couldn't get loose or something like that is what I'm kind of hearing. Yeah. We'll see. I don't believe anything until, you know.
Absolutely. Of course, the other baseball headline is that the top prospect for the Boston Red Sox, which is Rafael Devers, he has been called up. He's been their everyday third baseman.
Yeah, he's been tearing it up in the minors. I mean, he probably should have been up maybe at least a month ago, I would think. But, you know, if you're in fantasy, you definitely want to get a piece of this kid. It's worth the shot.
Scotty, yeah. one of the reasons why, I don't know if he was owned previously in leagues, was because just on 10 days ago, on July 14th, Dave Dombrowski's like, yeah, we have no plans to call this guy up this year. 10 days later, here he is.
Yeah, you know, you saw him and Mercado come up in the last week. You know, maybe some more to come here. He got to AAA for just a week and was hitting like 400 with like two homers in nine games.
When we come back, some of the football headlines from this week, including Sammy Watkins being close to 100%. Let's get into the Sammy Watkins low when we return here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
So some of the headlines NFL-wise from this weekend kind of surround Sammy Watkins because this isn't just puff piece. We saw a little video of Sammy Watkins catch a touchdown pass in the back left corner of the end zone. And he says he's getting closer to 100%. Corey, are you nervous that he's not yet
100%? If we was on the block, you know what? My response would be much different than what my response would be this morning right now. Okay. If he was on the block, I'd be able to say what I really want to say. But being that I can't do
What's the filtered version that you can say?
I'm not fooling with dude until I see him playing.
I'm not fooling with the man.
Yeah, until I see him playing. If he was on the block, that's not what I'd have said.
You love Sammy Watkins.
I'm drafting him in lower dollar leagues right now. You feel what I'm saying? When we go hot at the GST or something like that, I'll be honest with you. Unless I see something with him on the field, him playing in preseason games, him playing a half in the dress rehearsal, until I see that, I'm not going to be 100% comfortable and going hot.
I'm
going
to be honest because this seems to be the quote unquote lowest that you have been on Sammy Watkins in 2 years.
Because he should be healthy by now.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be getting close to 100%. It should be I'm 100%. I'm ready to go.
Well, that's the Bills' fault for not having the surgery earlier last season and bringing him back when they shouldn't have brought him back. I'll back him on that. My question is, middle of the third round, a guy that goes usually before Sammy Watkins, would you take Allen Robinson or Sammy Watkins?
I think right now I would take Allen Robinson. He's the healthy dude.
I think so, too.
I would take Watkins for more upside. But there's two storylines I hear. You know, Vic Carucci, who's been covering the Bills and been a national football writer forever, has said that Watkins needs to take better care of his own body. Plus the fact
The guy's
covered the team for years.
Sounds like a puff piece to me.
Forever.
But what does he know? No, but what does he know about Sammy Watkins?
He obviously does something because he's gone to Penn and he's put it publicly.
Okay, Scott, to Scott's point. If he's ever going to take better care of himself, if he's ever going to have the year, this is the year. The Bills did not pick up that option. So, and he's talking about how his class, you know, for the wide receiver market can set it, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, you know, I understand the trepidation. And right now, I'm going to do that. If I hear anything of a setback, I'm out.
For Carucci to say he needs to take better care of his body, how does Carucci know that? Like, is he in the gym with him? You know what I'm saying? Is he going to his crib? Is he hanging outside the nightclub taking pictures of Sammy Watkins? What does Carucci know about his training regimen?
Maybe it's just simple that he just shows up not in shape. Maybe it's that simple.
Yeah, but yeah, maybe Carucci, you know, I don't know if you're allowed to talk to the training team, but obviously he probably knows something I don't, because Carucci's been doing it forever, and he's not going to put pen to paper unless he knows what he's talking about. Okay. Then there's the other part of it, too. Usually when a guy has a clean off season, he's going to have a clean regular season. You know, not that I wouldn't draft Sammy Watkins, but what I'm saying is, you know, when you have to come back and you spend your off season, to your point, coming back from something like that, you know, it kind of, you know, puts your progress a little bit behind.
I mean, for me, after that second round, when you start looking at the wide receivers, there's a lot of questions I could ask about a lot of guys. So anywhere from mid to later third round, I'm going to take Watkins, because Watkins can return first round value.
True.
Matt made the best comparison. It's like Giancarlo Stanton in baseball. You know what the guy can do if he's healthy, but is he going to be healthy?
It's interesting, because I find myself never really wanting Giancarlo Stanton in baseball. And I don't think, I mean, if that's the comparison, I don't think I'll find myself wanting Sammy Watkins either.
I mean, I don't know. If you just look, we talk about one thing in fantasy football is opportunity.
Sure.
This guy has probably one of the best opportunities. You want to talk about targets, you know, one of the new buzzes, air yards. Everything is there for this guy. There's nobody that's going to take it away. If he's healthy, no one's going to take that away from him. You know, he proved, like, we all look at Keenan Allen's first eight games of 2015, we lose our minds.
Yeah.
Sammy Watkins' last nine games was like 900 yards, 9 touchdowns. You know, you exfoliate that over a full year, that's a top 5 wide receiver.
Yeah. Would you rather have Sammy Watkins or Keenan Allen?
Sammy Watkins, I'm going to go with.
Scott?
Sammy Watkins. They both get hurt. I feel like Watkins has more upside.
It's a tough call. I'm going to say Sammy.
It's very tough.
I don't know. It's a tough call. It's two dudes that when you're looking at a board and you're looking for a wide receiver two, wide receiver three, and you see those two names, you're like, oh.
By the way,
slide down the board and Matt, grab Davante Adams.
If you don't mind, Greg, tell the listeners what this new air yards thing is.
Oh, it's like, you know, basically when they're running routes and stuff, like who's gonna go? It's not like you're just catching the ball. Like you don't have this run after the catch. Like say you catch a screen pass.
Yeah.
You know, you remember guys like Jerry Rice, you catch a screen pass, or an Odell Beckham who can score anywhere on the field.
Yeah.
It's guys who are going to get down the field and catch the ball and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm excited for guys like him. I'm excited for guys like Terrell Pryor, who actually is pretty good on screen passes, too. He's good in short yardage. So, I'm going to look at guys, as I say, with Tyrod Taylor, I do see some improvement in his game. I think last year was big for him in his first full year as that quarterback. Now, a guy like a Terrell Pryor, who can get down the field and has a guy like Kirk Cousins who could deliver him the ball, these are guys you got to like.
So air yards is basically like guys who can take it deep.
Yeah, it's basically the yards you're going to get in the air, which you're going to be able to deliver down the field and stuff. You know, if you're a guy that's going to, you know, just be like a possession receiver and stuff.
Yeah.
That's a different animal.
That's a good stat for, like, you know, yardage bonus leagues.
Yeah, that's fair too.
Yeah.
But isn't that like yards per catch?
Well, I mean, yards per catch and like yards per target and stuff, but I mean, who's basically running the routes, like the deep routes and stuff like that?
Because yards per catch is going to take into account a screen pass, whereas the air yards are not.
I look at this Keenan Allen versus Sammy Watkins thing, and I think it's so hard to me.
No, it is definitely. Look, I understand the other people who are willing to go the Keenan Allen route. They're going to say, look, it's safer. I'm saying the fact that between the two of them,
he has the better
quarterback in Phillip Rivers, the proven, the better quarterback, the guy who throws for 4,500 yards. He has that history with him, too. So, I mean, I do get that, but I'm looking at that spot to hit the home run. You can go with either one of these guys can return first-round value. So, if you're more of a Keenan Allen guy,
I'll tell you who has a better quarterback, but, like, Watkins has something over Allen that I think more that Allen doesn't quite have. Watkins is clearly the man in Buffalo.
Real quick hold on.
I'll tell you one thing when it comes to Keenan Allen, though. They're telling me he's 100% right now. They're telling me he's back. Sammy Watkins still is not back. He's still not
and
healthy.
This is Sammy Watkins' injury is a chronic injury.
Correct.
Keenan Allen had a torn ACL. That can happen. I can be walking out the studio and tear my ACL.
Surprised you haven't yet.
But let me tell you something. Just wheel me back over here, baby, and put me in front of the microphone, and I'm ready to roll.
And just to get back on the air yards real quick. Basically, the guys are going to get targeted. In a nutshell, basically, guys that'll get targeted downfield more.
Yeah, but it's different for you, Corey, though. You're not just doing an athletic thing.
Right, they're on their own world.
Yeah.
You mentioned
tear the ACL in my throat. Will
that's different. That's different. You have an ACL in your throat?
You mentioned Terrell Pryor. And Terrell Pryor, his former offensive coordinator, Al Saunders, and longtime coordinator for wide receivers coach, not even an offensive coordinator. He's a longtime coach in this league. Basically said, listen, Terrell Pryor should be a Pro Bowler this year. And if he's not, something's wrong.
I agree. I understand Crowder. I like Jamison Crowder. It's two different people you're looking at. And I think with Pryor coming to this off, this was a guy that was a quarterback. I mean, he hasn't been a receiver all that long. He got to grow up last year in Cleveland, of all places, with Kessler, RG3. I mean, Cousins isn't, as for NFL style, the greatest quarterback. No. The guy threw for 5,000 yards last year. He's got Pryor. I think the touchdowns at least double this year with a chance for double digits. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm really high on this guy. He's another guy I'm going to target mid to late third round.
Yeah, I can't get out of my mind what one of the Cleveland beat guys says. And they should have not get him away, letting him away. His arrow is pointing up, and they're really going to regret letting him go.
Third round?
Terrell Pryor? Late third round, yeah.
Third round?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Pryor over Devontae Adams if I have that choice.
I wouldn't, but I like
Pryor. Pretty much neck and neck, but yeah. I'm going to take Pryor.
I would not take Pryor over Adams.
I mean, look at last season.
Late third round.
You say you will not take Adams over Pryor. Look at last season. Adams has, Aaron Rodgers. He had, 12 touchdowns. But, look at what Pryor did in Cleveland. Look at the yardage. He had more yardage than
he also hit the wall, Matt.
He hit the wall, and this was his first real season, full season as a wide receiver. That whole team collapsed at the end. That was just dog crap at the end for everybody, even Crowell and guys we like on that team going forward for this year. So if we think this kid can finally, he's a freak athlete, he's in a much, much better position and in a much better offense.
I like him, but I just can't do it over Adams.
All right, here we go. Terrell Pryor or Alshon Jeffrey?
I'm going to go Pryor.
I love Jeffrey. It's very, very close for me, but I'm going to go Pryor.
Alshon Jeffrey.
Terrell Pryor or Keenan Allen?
Oh, boy. Terrell Pryor.
Keenan Allen.
I'm going to go Pryor. These are all receivers you mentioned at 16, 19.
Totally. When we come back, quarterback sleepers, we continue the conversation. This is Roto Experts. Good morning.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Alright, we're back here on the Roto Experts this morning. Sleeper week on the
program.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network and on this
program. Oh, yeah, that's right. On the network.
On the whole
network. Network wide sleeper week. Let's get the hashtag out there.
On the BFF.
And on RotoExperts.com.
On the BFFs, by the way. RotoExperts.com is where you can buy the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It's available right now. You get the... Where's my bell?
Where's the bell?
Lose my bell?
No, the bell was back and forth. By the boxing gloves.
Our quarterback and running back sleepers posted this morning.
Will you have the rest of...
I'm right here.
Can you talk in front of the mic, though?
I'm right here.
There you go. All right, appreciate it.
I'm right here. Do something.
He just assaulted me.
It's a lot of talk. Fantasy balloon. Hot air.
Can you Sussmania to check out, please?
Sussmania.
Thank you.
So Sussmania.
There you go.
Shout out to Sal and Rob.
I collect some money from that. Okay. Quarterback sleepers, guys. 2017. I have looked at the Sleeping with the Staff, and I've compiled some other publications as well, because really there are like three names on the Sleeping with the Staff one that everybody chose. So we're going to get to those.
I did mine, but I didn't get a chance to. I got busy.
Yeah, we're going to get to those in a few moments.
A lot of publications out there with our guys in it, including the Fantasy Football Professional Edition and Football Diehards Preview. You can check out some of Jake Seeley's sleepers in those publications.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I have compiled a list of quarterback sleepers here for 2017. I'm going to get to ours last, the Roto Experts, Sleeping with the Staff last. Here are some of the popular ones that I have seeing for 2017. Number one, Eli Manning. Again, we're back to doing this Eli Manning thing. Corey, it was a massive bust, as you told us an hour ago. You're back on Eli Manning 2017.
If I get into a situation where I'm drafting on the turn, right, and I say, you know what, let me push it, and maybe in round 8-9, I'm like, I'm like, okay, I see the run coming, let me push it, right? Then the run happens, and it eats up all the quarterbacks, and Eli Manning and Andy Dalton left, I'm going to take Eli Manning.
I don't know. I think I might go Dalton. I'm just being honest with you.
Andy Dalton doesn't get a lot of love. Popular sleeper pick in 2017.
He had maybe his best season as a pure passer last year, and, you know, they continue to improve the weaponry around him. You know, they got this speedy kid. They got Tyler Boyd. Let's see if Mixon can catch passes out of the backfield, but... Yeah, I like him as a QB, too. As far as Eli Manning goes, I think the fact that they've surrounded him with more weaponry, they've given Brandon Marshall and people like Evan Engram, I think Eli can prove he can be steady and not spectacular this year. It wouldn't surprise me to be back, see him rebound to be solid, whereas, you know, look, could you stream Eli Manning and Andy Dalton this year and get away with it? You might be able to get to do that.
People are loving Andy Dalton, as I mentioned just a second ago. They're saying Andy Dalton, listen, can be a top-10 quarterback with A.J. Green healthy with all the weapons that they're providing.
He was a top five before.
He absolutely was. And everyone's healthy. Why can't he do it again?
And well, here's the thing with Eli real quick. I mean, no, the Giants run 11 personnel, which is, you know,
96% of the time last year.
Which, for the people out there, is the one back, one tight end, three receivers. That's what the Giants pretty much live in. They even do it on the goal line.
That's their base offense.
I saw Michael Salfino and Rich Rebar going back and forth yesterday. And even inside inside the five, the Giants still run that package. So... That look, Eli should be better, but as you say, Andy Dalton, he's another guy as just, you know, he's getting a lot of hype right now.
And here's the thing with Dalton from a strategic perspective, he probably has everything he needs right now if everybody stays healthy. He's got the superstar number one wide receiver in A.J. Green. He's got the big tight end touchdown target in Tyler Eifert. He's got a deep threat now in John Ross. And, you know, he's got Tyler Boyd will probably improve. And he's probably got a better running game. This is why people like Dalton.
But the problem is, and look, I love Mixon. I got A.J. Green shares. I got Mixon shares. But this offensive line is very concerning. They lost Whitworth, which was a huge blow. They lost another guy, too. They lost two pieces.
Two, yep. Yeah.
So that's concerning. As much as I'm getting invested in...
He's not a mobile quarterback, no.
So I'm assuming it's going to be a lot of 1-3-step drops. I don't think he's going to be able to really...
I don't think Tyler Eifert is going to see the field until about week 6 or something like that, so I'm not counting him in the mix. And I think John Ross is going to have injury issues throughout the course of the year through. I think the offense works through A.J. Green, mm-hmm. Brandon LaFell, and Joe Mixon.
There you go. Okay. So Eli Manning over Andy Dalton, it sounds like both guys major sleeper quarterbacks here in 2017. Then you get to a guy that you have brought up quite a bit, Matt Modica, and that's Sam Bradford. And Sam Bradford is in the second year with an offensive coordinator for the first time, or the second time in his career at all. And he's the unquestioned starter. Teddy Bridgewater is going to start at least training camp on the PUP list. I don't expect him to regain his starting job so quickly. Bradford, as you have pointed out, had a nice season last year. Threw the ball a ton. Here he is. He's got Dalvin Cook behind him now. The offensive line, you hope, is a bit better. Sam Bradford, year two in Minnesota. Can he be a fantasy starter?
I mean, when you look at the number two fantasy quarterbacks, I think he's not as far down as everybody wants to put him in for these reasons. One, I think this offense is becoming more pass-heavy. Two, he's got a guy like Kyle Rudolph as a safety net. But he's got receivers like Diggs, Thielen. If Treadwell can step up. But that backfield, look at the backfield going into this season versus last year. Look, Latavius Murray, people are going to pretty much poo-poo, but he has a role, and he can do it on the goal line, short yardage. He was a number 12 fantasy back from weeks 1 to 16 in the PPR, just based on he was able to get touchdowns and do that. Dalvin Cook is a guy that I really like. He's going to get the majority of the work, but it's not just going to be Dalvin Cook getting 30 touches. That's not going to happen. But so, I mean, if you factor this stuff in, you factor he gets a full offseason with this team, and the fact that if he has a good year, he's looking at making $24, $25 million next year.
I like him better as an NFL quarterback than a fantasy quarterback. You talk about the backfield, and that's one of the reasons why I say that. I think Dalvin Cook's going to play a big role. You can't write off Latavius Murray. This team has a very good defense. I think this is a team that's going to be very solid all around from a pure football perspective. I'm not going to look at them a lot to air it out. You know, Kyle Rudolph is going to get his. It's going to be over in the middle and in the end zone. I don't think they're just going to score a ton of points. I don't think they're going to give up a lot of points. I think it's going to be a respectable offense and not outstanding.
I don't want to, but I'm in on Bradford. You know, it hurts. It pains me to say that I'm in on Bradford. But I think you look at the weapons that they got on the offense altogether, and that offensive line's improved. Minnesota should be able to be a team that should be able to put up some nice point totals this year. I know that's crazy, me saying that. I can't believe the words coming out of my mouth, but Minnesota's got some weapons. They got a much improved offense. If they can stay healthy, I think that's the guy who I had down in the spreadsheet was Sam Bradford.
Real quick, he played 15 games.
And I had another one, too.
He played 15 games last season. He had 552 attempts. I think that goes up this year. And a guy like a Dalvin Cook can catch the ball out of the backfield and, you know, even help out in that way.
There you go. So Sam Bradford, I like Sam Bradford more than I should. I'm with you, Corey. I don't know how many pieces of the Minnesota offense I just want to have at all times. Like, I like Dalvin Cook. I don't know. I mean, I like Stephon Diggs. Like, I'm feeling too. If I like all these things, I should like Sam Bradford. But there's
it's something about Sam Bradford. I'm with Cole.
Who was it here that was it on this show or another way? Said Sam Bradford's completion percentage record from last year was like the biggest illusion because it's so many short passes.
I believe it was Michael Salfino last week.
There you go. Salfino. Might have been him. Salfino had said it. Okay. Again, I'm keeping the big one, the big sleepers here off for a couple moments here. Carson Palmer, we brought him up earlier. And Carson Palmer is someone that was drafted as a high quarterback last year, was dropped in leagues after a disgusting first half, finished the year kind of hot again, and now they are actively working to keep his arm fresh, Matt.
What are they doing to keep his arm fresh?
They're not having him throw as much.
Putting it in the refrigerator.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The last two seasons, only four quarterbacks have thrown at least 4,100 yards and 25 touchdowns. That's Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins, Phillip Rivers, and Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer is 1 year removed from like 35 touchdowns and, you know, 4,500 plus yards, 4,600 yards. I'm not saying he's going to throw 35 touchdowns. I'm not saying he's going to throw 4,600 yards. But he still has Fitzgerald, which is going to run through. If you believe in John Brown being healthy and John Brown coming back, Jaren Brown has also come back. Sure. Look what he had after Larry Fitzgerald last year. I mean, it was J.J. Nelson, who I like, but he's the deep guy, 150 pounds, soaking wet kind of guy. So, and you still got David Johnson, who can catch a pass and take it to the house at any time. So I'm not saying to start your team with Carson Palmer as your number one. But if he's your number two, especially in a two-quarterback league, I don't have a problem with Carson Palmer at all.
I feel like when you talk sleeper, though, you got to talk about a guy who's going to challenge to be your number one quarterback.
Yep.
And, you know, Palmer can have some good games. But I don't know. Like Matt says, ultimately, though, can I feel comfortable with my number one? I don't know if I can do that.
It's interesting because I think you can. I think you ultimately can.
You would draft him and put him in your number one quarterback.
No, but I think at some point this year
if you had to, and I'll say this. I'd rather have Carson Palmer over Carson Wentz.
Ah, who we're going to get to in just a couple of moments, obviously. Carson Wentz.
Battle of the Carsons.
Carson Wentz, we're going to get to here in literally just a couple seconds when we come back from the break. Other quarterbacks quickly here who we have not mentioned yet. Dak Prescott.
Why is Dak Prescott a sleeper?
I don't know. Just
top 10 quarterback last year.
So yeah, Dak Prescott not a sleeper?
He's not a sleeper.
Okay. No.
by any definition.
I don't think he's a sleeper, but I think people are mixed. Some have him top 10 this year. Some have him sliding back around that 15 range. So, I mean, like I said, he's year two. Corey, what do you say about Marty Schottenheimer?
He play as good as year two. If he can play as good in year two as he played in year one, that means he's improved.
Corey, is Cam Newton a sleeper in 2017?
Yeah, Cam Newton is a sleeper because I think the industry, a lot of people in the industry are down on Cam Newton. I'm still seeing him going in that quarterback 6-7 range, but a lot of people, smart people, are not on Cam this year.
Chris Ventura made him his sleeper in 2017. I'll read you exactly what he said, sleeping with the staff at RedWestBirds.com. Exclusive.
He was here the other day.
He was, that's right. Yeah. When we come back, I'll tell you the big two sleepers from our choices at RedWestBirds.com. Stick around. This is the RedWestBirds The Morning.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Hips moving, the Kings guy. If you're watching us live on the Fantasy Sports Network right now,
is that
now.
The edge?
No, I think this is the cure.
No, I'm talking about you.
What? You playing the guitar. The edge.
Is it? No.
Bono.
It's not the edge, it's edge.
No, it's just feeling it, man. It's like got this new wave groove to it, you know?
It's got a new wave groove to it.
Yeah. Scotty Love doing it.
Okay, so inside Sleeping with the Staff, I mentioned Chris Ventura chose Cam Newton. He said, quote, Newton is only 28 years old, entering his prime years, a quarterback, and the numbers suggest 2016 is the outlier of his career, not the start of a new norm. In Newton's first, it's all cut off here, Scott, you let him know. In Newton's first five seasons, he averaged a 59.5 completion percentage. Last season, it was 52.9.
It dropped.
A roughly 6.5 percentage drop. The number seems like an anomaly. The additions of Christian McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel should help him bounce back. He's averaged almost 31 touchdowns per season in his career. Last year, just 24. An uptick to the 27 touchdown range would coincide with a regression to the mean. Newton's average rushing yards per season before last year was roughly 640. It was 359 last year. Recent news suggests he will run less moving forward, but running the ball is part of his game. He should still reach 450 yards based on regression, positive regression. Injury risk and inconsistency make him a gamble, but the ability to produce at a high level still very prevalent. Should exceed his declining ADP.
See, here's the thing about it. Like it sounds good, but look at those numbers trending in the right direction. But you can't really get off the dude like I am, you know, because he's such a dynamic talent. Sure. You feel what I'm saying? Sure. He's like, you know,
he's Superman.
Like, Superman.
Though,
huh? Yeah, I got him ranked way down there, but if he hits, am I gonna be like, oh, I can't believe it? No.
You know, I mean, for me, he's 10 to 12. I either have him 10 or maybe I can't push him past 12 because I think he deserves to be a starter for everything he's done. Look, the guy did have a shoulder injury last year. I don't like the wide receivers he has, but I do like the new offense that's evolving here. They brought in a couple of rookies and McCaffrey, who's going to be highlighted in that offense. But the other guy, Samuel, has come in. Olsen, as long as he doesn't hold out or anything like that and is on the field, it's still going to be that security blanket. You can give the negative that Cam in his career hasn't been a good short passer. He hasn't done well in short yardage. I think he can learn to do that better over the course of training camp and stuff like that.
So that was Chris Ventura's pick. Every other Roto Experts exclusive edge
before
writer.
Before they get onto it, real quick, just on Cam, I'm more with Corey. It's like I don't think the rushing is totally going to disappear, but I think it's definitely going to scale back. And like he said, he's never been like a percentage, high percentage sort of passer. They're going to look for other people to make plays for him. But every time I just do my ranks, I keep finding myself putting people ahead of him, and boom, he just lands at like number 16.
Every other Roto Experts writer chose one of two people.
Oh, that's easy.
One was Tyrod Taylor, who we talked extensively about a little bit earlier on. The other was Carson Wentz. Now, Scotty, you've been very high on Carson Wentz. You talked about him a lot on our show. You are teamed here with Joe Galina, who did not do well last year, as we described.
Jesus.
And Michael Florio, the my co-host on the Fantasy Football Best Friends forever.
Yes.
So, here's what you, sir, said about Carson Wentz.
And host of Is Matt Modica Winning?
What is this?
No, we're going back to
we're changing the title.
The name of the show.
Why is that?
Because I won again. Well, you weren't here.
I wasn't here the last 2 weeks, but last time I was here, I won.
I have to say, Sussman, you have stepped up your game, and is Matt Modica winning?
The fact is, on Friday, there'll be two champions going head-to-head, for the record. Now,
Corey, I thought Corey was a champion.
He is not. Scott Engel, you, sir, said this. Wentz provided volume last season, but did not have enough playmakers. He threw over 600 times in 2016. Now he has Alshon Jeffrey, a true number one wide receiver, and Torrey Smith as a pure deep threat. Jordan Matthews should more consistently effective with improved complement and Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz returns as well. This is
some remedial writing.
This is a deeper, more dive crew. Assuming it says diverse, it's cut off. Diverse crew for a young quarterback on the rise. Those are your words. Why don't you describe a little bit more why you like Carson Wentz?
Like I basically said there, it's he's so much volume last year. Now you get a true number one wide receiver in Alshon Jeffrey. And then you also have Torrey Smith in a certain role where he should be, and not being asked to be a number one wide receiver. You got Jordan Matthews as a chain mover, slot guy. You got Zach Ertz coming back. You have running backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield. They may not have that dependable of a running game. I think the defense is bad. They're going to be involved in a lot of shootouts. So I see a lot of upside for Carson Wentz.
Now, I know you are on the other side of this, Matt Modica. You would rather have, you said a couple moments ago, Carson Palmer over Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I think, as Scott likes to say, I think Carson Wentz, maybe it's for 2018, not 2017. He's still got a lot to do. I'm not saying for future he can't be good, but there's a lot of growing up, a lot of, there's no excuses this year. He got that season under his belt. Look, Alshon Jeffrey is a big addition. Torrey Smith is good in the fact that he's a decoy. You just let him run down the field every play and do his thing there. I do like Jordan Matthews. I do see some improvement, but he's not a guy that... I just think there's many other options I'm going to take before him.
Where do you have Carson Wentz ranked?
15.
You have him 15. You have him 15 overall.
Do you have him over Cam?
Yes.
Do you have him over Tyrod Taylor?
No.
Do you have him? Who do you have him over?
Let me pull it up.
Yeah. Where are you on Carson Wentz, Corey?
I like Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz is a player that I can definitely fool with. I think he is definitely a guy you have to look at as a sleeper quarterback going into 2016. Scott named all the good things that he has going for him. But the thing that I like, you got a second-year head coach, second-year offensive coordinator, second-year quarterback. They've done it already. They're starting to build a track record and a rapport together. They bring the pieces in there now. Get them back in that same system. Let's rock and roll.
All in the same system, which is very good. According to
fantasy, I like Carson Wentz.
Scott,
Pennsylvania.
Scott has him at 15, as he told us. Carson Wentz, according to Fantasy Pros, right now is the 21st ranked quarterback.
Yeah, they got to get drafting better.
One spot behind, so Carson Palmer.
Yeah, and if we go back to what Corey says about year two quarterback, if he was as good as year one,
yeah, true.
If he has that same as year one, that's no bueno. Look, I think the kid is going to improve. I do like him long term. I just think it's maybe one more year away.
And I think that's fair. I don't know if the Eagles take the jump this year either. I mean, I think what they've done...
They're terrible on defense.
Terrible, but that's good for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, that's excellent for Carson Wentz. He's going to have opportunities.
So we'll
see. Somehow, some way, the Eagles, as far as a fantasy defense, they always get sacks. And
yeah,
they always play better than what their preseason rank is. I'm just saying.
That's fair enough. You have him at 15, you said, Scotty.
Yep.
Who do you have directly behind him, please?
I have Dalton, and then I have Cam, and I have Dalton, and I have Eli.
So you have Cam 16, you have Dalton 17, you have Eli 18.
Right.
Do you guys agree?
And then right ahead of him, I have Mariota, Stafford, and Roethlisberger.
I don't have too much of an issue with it, you know what I mean? Once you get into that mix, those guys are all jumbled up anyway. You feel what I'm saying? They're only a point or two apart.
I mean, yeah, I'll give you that it's jumbled up, but there's no way. I mean, I'm going to take Cam over Carson once every time. And if I don't think the chances of me being wrong there. I don't know how. I'm looking at a guy that's a post MVP. I know, look, the passing percentage and all that. But this is a guy that I keep hearing he's not going to run anymore. That's bullshit. I'm telling you that right now. He's going to run. He sees that pylon. He's going to go in the end zone. They got to get that touchdown. Right, he's going to dive in. That, right?
I agree with him on one thing, that like he's not going to stop running totally. But I see it do getting scaled back. I don't feel he's a good pure passer. I feel like Cam, if any respect he's getting, he's getting it based on reputation.
If I could go to any team in the NFL's training camp and watch like a week of training camp of any NFL team, it would be the Carolina Panthers.
Well, you could.
I ain't got to come here.
We can send you out there.
Yeah, but
we're not sending you out
here. I can go myself. They're not going to send me.
We got him some press passes and stuff.
Yeah.
Fantasy exec live from the field.
We
can get the press pass. We're not going to, you know. The thing with Carson Wentz is, yeah, I'm 15. He's 21st in Fantasy Pros. He's kind of in this mix. Like, as you mentioned, Corey, it's just like it's all jumbled up here anyway. And I'm not drafting Carson Wentz as my quarterback one.
No, you don't have to draft him as a quarterback one, Greg. Put him on your bench, and if he pops, you know what I'm saying? You got to piece.
Exactly. Okay,
so then if you'd rather have Tyrod Taylor.
You guys told me that when I said about Carson Palmer as my number two, we needed to have him as their number one. So I'm confused there.
What we're saying is, and what Corey just said is, these are guys that could potentially be number one quarterbacks. They're sleepers.
If Carson Wentz finished the season as QB13, that's a good thing. Then he hit his numbers. He's a weekly starter. You know what I'm saying?
Quarterbacks are also deep, too. So it's kind of hard to project guys busting into, like, the top 10.
It's hard.
But these are guys that potentially could finish in the QB1 conversation.
I agree. Shockingly.
You guys sharing notes now?
I know, right?
so there you go. Tyrod Taylor, Carson Wentz. You guys all had said Tyrod Taylor to that answer.
I got another one though. DeShone Kizer.
Seriously?
Yep. Feel like the Russell Wilson thing is getting ready to happen. Where everybody's saying, no, it's not going to be that guy. It's not going to be that guy. It's not going to be that guy. But it ends up being that guy. I feel like DeShone Kizer could be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns by week four.
He could be, sure.
He could. Look, I mean, maybe he's even the starter by week one, but I think that's just a mistake for Cleveland. Like, why rush this kid whose biggest problem was
probably better than Kessler?
Was Russell Wilson starter his rookie year?
But making decisions, he was terrible. He was terrible.
Russell Wilson started his remnant. Remember the Hyatt homeboy?
No, I know. Was he a fantasy starter his rookie year?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to find out what's up next on the Football Frenzy around the show. Come out next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
The Roto Experts in the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, the Fantasy Football Frenzy. It comes your way next. So, to wrap up the program, sleepers, quarterbacks 2017 in a sleeper week here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey has his deep sleeper being DeShone Kizer of the Cleveland Browns. Scotty has said his sleeper in sleeper with a stat. You can read it at RedWaxers.com. Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. You sus mania when you check out. It's Carson Wentz. Matt Modica, who is your quarterback? Is your quarterback going to be Carson Palmer?
Yeah, we'll go with Carson Palmer. I've been touting him up and all that.
You'll go with Carson Palmer as your quarterback sleeper. For me, if I had to choose one, I'm going to go with Frank Stampling. I'm going to go with Andy Dalton because I think he could really bounce back and have another really top 10 year. We've seen it before from him. If he can stay healthy, I know the offensive line's a big question mark. If the weapons can stay healthy, Joe Mixon could provide that spark. I think Andy Dalton could have a top 10
year. You put him on the team as a quarterback too?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
No issue with that.
Yeah, I don't mind that either. Right. I think I took Dalton as my quarterback too Saturday night.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you all a question, though. It's,
please.
It's interesting because there's a lot of people that don't go drafting a second quarterback.
Yep.
You know, but we're talking about all these guys like Wentz and Palmer. You know, what do you prefer? Like not drafting a second quarterback or taking one of these guys?
If I'm in a 16-round draft, I'm more than likely going to have one quarterback and eye somebody off the waiver wire. If I'm in a 20-round draft, then I'll draft two quarterbacks.
In a 16-round draft, I'm going to try and get two top 15 quarterbacks. I like having the two quarterbacks.
I do, too.
How many 16-round drafts you do, though, Matt?
Not really many. We're being honest.
Yeah, I don't really do 16-round drafts.
I do 16-round drafts.
Hopefully GST is not 16.
I'm the common player.
Last year it was.
If you will.
I don't like that.
And I kind of always initially would laugh at people that draft the backup quarterback because I never got it. I think it depends where you're getting the quarterback. If I have Aaron Rodgers, I'm not drafting another quarterback. If I have Drew Brees, I'm not going to draft another quarterback. But when I get into this middle round range, that's when I draft that
right.
second quarterback.
If you don't have like a top 3-4 guy.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Question here for the GST. This is going to be a trade league, I assume?
Yeah, they can do trades in this.
Yeah.
Who's getting the final say on if it's a good trade, bad trade?
The commissioner will, so
Tony?
It'd be interesting. But, I'm having my eye on like a hawk on these trades.
I mean, I just see what's going on in the baseball.
The Greenwich Street Tavern League is like a league that we do here in New York with us and some of our friends. It's anybody's welcome to come down and watch, listen to the show.
It's pretty much hosts on this station, listeners, and some NFFC national
friends.
Football
you know, friends of friends. Yeah. Friends of friends. BFFs. BFFs.
Oh, look at
BFFs. That's what you all have to go look forward to August 20th.
I'm locking the door.
If you guys come in with like cheerleading outfits, I think that'd be great for you.
I'm locking the door on them today, man. When they come in here after the frenzy, they're not going to be able to get in the door.
Oh, yeah. Supposedly, people got fresh with the fantasy executive.
Yeah, it's just somebody.
Somebody got fresh.
One of the BFFs.
It wasn't me.
They put the BFFs logo inside our rundown. I don't know how that happened.
Wow.
Somebody dropped that in there, so now I'm going to have to lock the door.
Oh, it wasn't me.
I'm going to take over the fantasy best friends.
Well, Eric Young will be here, so you probably don't want to mess with him.
Tough guy.
Speaking of fantasy football frenzy, what is coming up next?
Well, we're going to keep it going in hour number two. We'll be talking a little bit more quarterback sleepers. We're going to bring the C-League, the all-in kid in and get his opinion on some QB sleepers. It is sleeper week right here on FNTSY. We'll go over some of the top stories from over the weekends as we start to get some draft trends going and stuff like that. And also me and Jake participated in FFPC's Pros versus Joes last night. It's an annual competition, kind of one of the signifies the kickoff of fantasy football. So we'll talk about Jake's team, talk about my team. I still couldn't get the tight end thing right in Pros versus Joes. So we'll break that down coming up on the frenzy, and then you'll have a good time. And then,
Jordan, GST, 20-round league. Christopher Carroll just texted me.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. That is going to do it for us here on a Monday. The football frenzy is Modica with Parson, and of course with Jake Sealy comes your way next. For Matty Moe, for the kid Scott Angle, and for the fantasy executive Corey Parson, my name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic rest of your Monday, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Eastern.